much, Sister Shelley. And what an inspiration Brother Chris Hudson was.
Amen.
Yeah. It reminds me that we just completed
Muted
the Generation of Youth for Christ, GYC, in Seattle. And anyone that had an opportunity to tune that in on their computer knows what a blessing it was. And hearing the passion of Chris Hudson reminded me that the young people are going to finish this work. And how it warms my heart to see the young people standing up with a passion for Jesus Christ. It also reminds me how this movement was started. This movement was started with young people. They haven't studied it, don't realize that the people that started this movement, almost all of them, were between the ages of 17 and 23. We have so many pictures of James White or Bates or Jan Loughborough, Uriah Smith, as old men and assume that's what age they were when they started. But when we do the history of the Advent movement, we realize that they were very young people between 17 and 23 years of age when God gave them the inspiration to start this movement. And it's going to be the young people that complete it. And what a joy it is to see them. Seattle will not be the same after all those thousands of young people were going door to door and sharing the three angels' message. But before that happens, we have to complete the shaking period that we're going through now. And I'm convinced that shaking period has developed into a sifting period. We've been going through the shaking for some time, and I believe we're going through the sifting now. And my question for all of us this evening is, will you survive? Will you survive the sifting? When we look at the prophecies in the Bible about the future, brothers and sisters, it is dark with storm clouds. But don't neglect the rainbow of hope that is there. The promise of God is to take his people through. And as the remnant proceed on this upward narrow path, we have assurance that heaven's door is just ahead. There are so many voices of discouragement and so many people leaving the ark and trying to take as many as they can with them. Brothers and sisters, do not lose hope. You see, the Church of Christ is the one thing in this world that is going to survive.
Yes.
Everything else is going down in ruin. And you remember the ark was the only thing that went through the flood back in Noah's day, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Only the ark and the things in the ark survived that monumentous event of the flood. And all who survived were right there in that ark. So today, those who survive, those who want to be survivors, will be those who are found in a place in the ark of refuge, which is the remnant church, and who remain in this ark until Jesus comes. Now, I want to study with you how to be sure that you remain, how to be one of the remnant who makes it all the way through. And because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. We're told in Matthew 24:12-13. Now, in order for the love to wax cold, they had to have the love of Christ to begin with, didn't they?
Amen.
And isn't that a sad statement that there are those who have had the love of Christ will allow that love to wax cold? And why is that happening? Because iniquity. You see, those who endure to the end are the survivors. And notice that there is a prediction here about those who will start out but will not finish. And Jesus tells us why. Because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. Did you notice it didn't say the love of one or two, the love of a few, the love of some? Almost always when the Bible uses the word many, they're talking about the majority, more than 50%. The love of the majority shall wax cold. Doesn't that just make your heart sad? And it isn't just the iniquity in the world that's the problem. As a ship proceeding over the ocean is perfectly safe with water all around it, isn't it? When the trouble happens is when the water from outside the ship begins to leak in. And so the church is perfectly safe, just like the Titanic. The Titanic was perfectly safe with all those tons of water surrounding it. And so the church is perfectly safe, even though it's surrounded with sin. And it's surrounded with the apostasy of a godless world. As long as that sin, as long as that apostasy doesn't begin to leak into the church, doesn't begin to leak into the ark. And so Jesus prayed, I pray not that thou shalt take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil, in John 17:15. In the prophecy of Ezekiel 9, we read that in that time which we shall live, the true people of God will be distinguished by what? Well, they'll be distinguished by the deep anguish, by the deep sighing and crying for all the abominations that are being done where? Inside the church. And why do we see this apostasy? Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, halfway between hot and cold is what?
Lukewarm.
That would be lukewarm. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That is the Laodicean message that Jesus, in his mercy, has sent to his remnant church. And, of course, we read about that in Revelation 3, don't we? And his accusation against the church is that it's lukewarm. Those who are lukewarm on the way from hot to cold. And sadly, this is the road that many are on today. And I just want to say now, and I'll remind you later, just because you're in a lukewarm church does not mean that you personally need to be lukewarm, does it?
Not at all. Amen.
We're given the recipe for how to escape that lukewarm condition. So we can be in a lukewarm church and not be lukewarm personally, but we'll get to that later. But now I want to share with you from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 136. Soon, God's people will be tested by fiery trials. The great proportion, underline that in your book, the great proportion of those who now appear to be genuine and true will prove to be base metal. Well, that testimony of Volume 5, page 136, fits right into what we read in Scripture. The love of many, the great proportion, the majority. So why should we be surprised when we see so many moving from hot to cold today? Why are we surprised? Why are we downhearted when we see iniquity abounding? Haven't we been warned? Haven't we been told? Haven't we been prophesied? And Jesus predicts through his messenger a time of great testing. It is the same thing he spoke about in Matthew 24, and with the same results. Many wax cold. Many go out. Many leave the ark. It is spoken about as the great proportion. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness when the majority forsake us, to fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few, this will be our test. At this time, we must gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. The nation will be on the side of the great rebel leader. Volume 5 of Testimonies, page 136. So, how are you going to deal with this test, brothers and sisters? Are you going to get discouraged, or are you going to gather warmth and courage and loyalty? The choice is yours. Will you be a survivor? You see, our nation will join with the enemy in the final attack against God and his church. Did you hear that? The United States of America will join Satan in a final attack against God and his remnant church. Are you ready for that? And in this time, the majority will forsake you and me. Now, I hate to read this, brothers and sisters, and I hate to think of it. But should I instead just put my head in the sand? Should I instead just hide my eyes from what the prophet of God has written down for our enlightenment? See, the Word of God plainly says that we should study the prophecies and see what is ahead so we can keep out of trouble. Proverbs 22:3 tells us, the prudent man foreseeth the evil. Are you looking forward to the evil that is just in front of us? The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So, what's your choice, brothers and sisters? Are you going to be prudent or are you going to be simple-minded? Are you going to pay attention and heed the warnings, or are you going to hide your head in the sand? Now listen, if the majority of those who come up to the time of testing and forsake us, where are they just before they forsake us? Where can we find this majority today just moments before they forsake us?
In the church.
Well, where would you expect them to be? So why are you so surprised? Why are you complaining? Why are you wringing your hands?
Amen.
Why are you talking about leaving the ark?
Mm-hmm.
You see, brothers and sisters, I understand it's a testing time. I understand it's difficult. I too am sighing and crying, but I am not surprised.
Amen.
And I'm certainly not going to leave the ark with them.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, they are not going to stay long enough to go through the great storm.
Hallelujah.
They jump over ship. They abandon ship. They jump over the rail before the trouble breaks.
Free at last. Free at last.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I jump over the rail with them?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I become a man overboard?
Okay.
Great Controversy, page 608. As the storm approaches, a large class... Are you getting this message about a large class, the great proportion, the biggest majority?
Amen.
Yes,
as a storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message, we're not just talking about Christians here, are we? Who professes faith in the third angel's message? The Baptists? The Methodists? The Presbyterians? As the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth,
mm-hmm.
abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. Did you hear me say a few minutes ago that the United States of America is going to join Satan in opposing God's remnant?
Yes.
A large class who will profess faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. Who's at the head of the ranks of the opposition? Who's the leader of the ranks of the opposition?
Satan.
Are you hearing this, brothers and sisters? Is it coming through? Are you seeing it? This is the time in which we are living. This is what is just around the corner. This is what could happen in February or March or April. This is what is just ahead of us. And if large numbers of those who claim to keep the commandments of God are going to leave the church as the sifting increases, and the remnant are persecuted for keeping God's Sabbath, where are they tomorrow? Where are these people going to show up tomorrow?
First day churches.
Where are this large class, where is this majority going to arrive at tomorrow morning?
First day churches.
This, brothers and sisters, explains why there is so much worldliness and following worldly fashions and customs in diet, in dress, in reading, in amusement, in recreation, in hooking up, in marriage, in education, in Sabbath keeping, and child training, and all the other phases of life. As it was in the time of Noah. Let me read to you from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 81. The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. Did you put your name there? When the time of testing will come to Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
When the time of
Help
test will come to Shelley.
Help me, Lord.
When the time of test will come to Ron.
Uh-huh.
When the time of test will come to Chris Hudson.
Help us.
When the time of test will come to Chris Stevenson. Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The mark of the beast will be urged upon us.
Uh-huh.
And those who have stepped by step yielded to worldly demands and conformed to worldly customs,
mm-hmm.
will not find it hard to yield to the powers that be.
That's right.
Rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and death.
Mm-hmm.
In this time, the gold will be separated from the dross in the church. The gold will be separated from the dross in the church. Testimony, Volume 5, page 81. The time of separation is when the mark of the beast is urged upon us. I see the shaking. I see the sifting. It is a sad fact that every year there are those who leave the Remnant Church and go out into the world. It is a pitiful thing. And brothers and sisters, I would much rather be bringing you a very happy message today. By the way, brothers and sisters, there's a happy ending to the story, you know.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Look up, because your redemption draws nigh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, there's a happy end to the story. But before we get to the end, oh, there's some difficulty, because this thing is just warming up. The real sifting of the church, the real separation of the wheat and the chaff, the gold and the dross, is right upon us, and we will see a time of persecution.
Mm.
Now, I want to give you three events that will increase the sifting. Three agencies that will accelerate the exodus from the church. If you know what these three things are, then you can watch for them.
Amen.
Now, I want you to get a piece of paper. I want you to write these down. I want you to contemplate this during the 24 Sabbath hours. I know many of you, the Sabbath has already begun as much as 3 or 4 hours ago.
Sure.
But I want you to write these three words down and let them recycle in your mind over the Sabbath hours. Number one, persecution. I have already mentioned one of these three causes. It's persecution. Does Jesus talk about persecution?
Yes.
Matthew 24:9-10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. Now, brothers and sisters, through the last 2,000 years, and even before that, persecution has always been a sifting agency. Those who have come into the church in times of peace are tested to see whether they really mean business. It is one thing to join the church when people pat you on the back. Someone is making a tremendous amount of noise on their phone.
Amen.
Someone is rattling around things on their desk. Would be such a blessing if you would be quiet on the open line. Thank you so much. That's such a blessing. It is one thing to join the church when people are patting you on the back and inviting you to potluck and inviting you to their house after church.
Yes.
It is another thing to join the church when it means going to prison.
That's right.
When it means being banished.
Hmm.
When it means receiving the death penalty. So persecution is one of the agencies that's going to sift the church right down to its foundation. Another element that's really going to sift the church is heresy. Now, I want you to hear this clearly. You probably want to write this down, too. Volume 5 of the Testimonies. Volume 5, page 707. 707.
Amen.
I want you to hear this clearly. Many people have not heard this before or have ignored it. God will arouse his people. If other means fail, heresy will come in among them. Heresy will come in among them, which will sift them, separating the chaff from the wheat. Has there been any heresy that's come into God's Remnant Church?
The conference organizer has left the conference. The conference is now over.
Hello?
Hello, Brother Neifert. You still there, right?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, continue, sir. That might have just been the recording that or the line may have right. called, may have gotten dropped, but carry on, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Has there been any heresy that has come into God's remnant church?
Yes.
Let me be clear. This is hard for some people to accept. But let me be clear. God has allowed this. Did I say God caused it?
No,
I didn't say God caused it. I said God has allowed this heresy to come in. And why did he allow that? Because all the other methods to arouse God's people have failed.
Right.
Because the words in the Bible have failed to arouse God's people. Because the words in the spirit of prophecy have failed to arouse God's people. And so now he has allowed heresy to come in. And what's the effect of this heresy? To sift God's people and separate the chaff from the wheat. Read it for yourself, Volume 5 of the Testimony, page 707. So heresy is another sifting agency. And what are heresies? False teachings. And false teachings have always sifted the church. Read the letters of John. Read the letters of Peter. Read the writings of Paul. They all talk about the Gnostics coming in the early church, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
The heresies were coming in. And Paul was dealing with them. And when false teachings came in, they separated the chaff from the wheat 2,000 years ago. And they separate the wheat from the chaff 2,000 days ago. And they separated the wheat from the chaff 2,000 hours ago. Now, I have shared with many of you the great counterfeit of the latter rain, which is now engulfing the Christian world around us. The popular churches are getting more and more pleased with another gospel that is being presented. And more the power of Satan witnesses to that false gospel. But it is going to even increase from where we are now. But it's not only out there in the popular churches of the world where Satan is bringing in false teaching. In the remnant church, there has been and will continue to be those who bring in false teaching.
My brother.
Yes.
May I say something? Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so, in our churches today, we have a lot of heresies. Look, I have the brooms media, the shepherd rod, and have only that comes up inside the church, drawing out disciples after them.
But hasn't that existed over the last 165 years? We think of Cainwright. We think of Kellogg. We think of Jones. And more recently, we think of Ford and others.
Mm-hmm.
We think of men today who have apostatized from the movement. I know a Seventh-day Adventist that was a pastor that is now studying for the priesthood in the Catholic Church. I know of another Seventh-day Adventist pastor that has joined Benny Hinn.
Mercy.
Some of those things are among us today. We need to be on the lookout for them. Heresy will sift the church, separating the wheat from the chaff. But now I want you to listen to this and answer this in your own heart. What is sifted out, the wheat or the chaff? What is sifted out, the wheat or the chaff? You see, Jesus' fan is in his hand, and he will purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff.
Amen.
And when the wind blows through the thrashing floor, what is blown out?
The chaff.
The chaff, brothers and sisters, the chaff. So don't be discouraged. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. But don't be discouraged. This is all the fulfillment of prophecy. And remember, who is the head of the church?
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will never leave us or forsake us.
Amen.
You see, this ark that was started over 165 years ago by divine direction is the ark that is going to carry the people of God through this very bad storm ahead.
Amen.
We just went through the storm Sandy, but it is nothing compared to the storm that is just ahead.
Mm.
Now, listen. We don't need a new ark. We need an understanding of the blueprint for the ark that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a determination to abide in the ship.
Mm-hmm.
From volume 5 of the testimony, page 571. I had an impressive dream last night. I thought you were going on a strong vessel, sailing on very rough waters. And sometimes the waves beat over the top, and you were drenched with water. And you said, I shall get off. This vessel is going down. No, said one who appeared to be the captain.
Mm.
This vessel sails into the harbor. She will never go down.
Praise God.
And who is the captain of our ship?
Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
Let me tell you, this is a clear statement who was written to Elder Cainwright back in the 1880s, shortly before he made his sad decision to leave the ark. Spirit of Prophecy wrote, this vessel sails into the harbor. She will never go down. Well, I believe that. What do you say?
Amen.
Revelation 12:17 pictures a war between the dragon and the remnant of the woman's seed. And that remnant keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Does Revelation 12:17 talk about the testimony of Ellen White?
Yes.
Jesus.
No, it talks about the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, amen.
Yes, that's right.
So let those that criticize Ellen White have the courage to fight against who they are really fighting against.
Mm-hmm.
They are going against Jesus Christ, not against Ellen White. They just don't have the courage to say so.
Uh-huh.
Now, did Jesus Christ use Ellen White to write down his testimony? Absolutely,
yes.
Positively. But let us never forget, it is the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I choose to remain with the remnant. I want to survive with the ark of God. I want Jesus Christ to be my captain of my ship. And I pray God grant it for everyone.
Amen.
Now let me read to you from... Let me read to you from Early Writings, page 271. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead them to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight testimony, the straight truth. Now listen to this part. I'm still quoting here. Listen carefully. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this is what will cause a shaking among God's people.
Mm-hmm.
What causes the shaking? The people give the straight testimony? No. The thing that causes the shaking is that some will not bear this straight testimony, and they will rise up against it. You see, the straight testimony causes a shaking. Why does the straight testimony cause a shaking? Because some will not bear it. They cannot take it. They cannot stand it. They will not endure it. They will not tolerate it. They don't want to hear it. And they don't want it in the church. And so what will they do? They will rise up against it.
Yeah.
And this is what is causing the shaking today, brothers and sisters. if everybody in the church were happily listening to the straight testimony, would there be a shaking in the church tomorrow? No, there would not. It is those who rise up against the straight testimony that are responsible for the shaking. The Lord's messenger says that few know what our church will experience. And I pray you on this prayer line are getting a clear picture of what the church is about to go through. If you can't take what's going on today, how can you possibly take what's going on tomorrow? And I ask you, will you endure the sifting that the persecution brings? Brothers and sisters, will you be a survivor? Before the persecution, and in connection with it, will you endure the sifting that the false teaching brings from without and from within? In preparation to both of those, will you endure the straight testimony? Will you survive the giving of the straight testimony, or are you going to remain silent, hoping that nobody will notice you? Let me tell you that if you choose to remain silent, in your silence, you have joined the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I know that's a hard saying. I understand it's a hard saying. But remember those who were silent during Elijah's journey on the Mount Carmel. Remember those who remained silent during the stoning of Stephen. Remember those who remained silent during the trial of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Unless you receive the straight testimony, you will not be a survivor. You will be sifted out. It is not possible to hear the straight testimony in the remnant church, rise up against it, and refuse to accept it, treat it as an interference, as an invader, and continue right on as a church member in good and regular standing, thinking that you are a true and loyal member of the remnant church. It is not possible. If you are in that condition, it will be revealed as the persecution increases, because persecution shifts out what the straight testimony shakes.
Hmm.
Persecution sifts out what the straight testimony shakes. Let me illustrate it if you can. Suppose I had a great big jar, and suppose I had in it some jelly beans, and in addition to those jelly beans, I had some tangerines, and I put them all in the jar together. Are you seeing this? A big, large jar full of jelly beans and tangerines. Now, suppose I started shaking that jar. You'd start seeing movement, wouldn't you? And pretty soon, as I shook it up, the tangerines would be at the top, and the jelly beans would be at the bottom, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You'd see a separation of the jelly beans and the tangerines. You would see that the shaking produces that separation. The big ones are on top and the little ones are at the bottom. But listen, as you're thinking about this, they're both still in the jar, aren't they?
Yep.
There's a separation. The tangerines are on top, the jelly beans are on the bottom, but they're both still in the jar. Now, this is what the straight testimony has been doing in the church. It brings together those who receive the straight testimony on a prayer line such as this. But it also draws together those who resist. And so today we see two separate groups, but they're all still in the church. Now suppose I drilled some holes in the bottom of that jar. And the size holes that I drilled were just the right size for the jelly beans.
It would fall out.
They'd be too small for the tangerines, wouldn't they?
Yes.
What I have done by drilling those holes in the bottom of the jar is I have made a sieve.
Mm-hmm.
And if I continue to shake, what happens to those jelly beans?
Jelly beans fall out.
Yes, they start leaving the jar, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing what's happening today in the church?
Yes.
The jar has been shaken. The church has been shaken. And we've been separated into two groups. In fact, some churches are all jelly beans, and some churches are all tangerines today.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all still in the denomination.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening now is there's holes being drilled in the bottom of the remnant church. And the jelly beans are starting to leave the church. The shaking caused by the straight testimony, the heresy caused by the false teaching, and persecution brought on by the powers of the earth, if you get all three of these things brought together upon you, can you survive? Now, did you write down on your piece of paper all three words?
Amen.
Number one, shaking. Number two, heresy. Number three, persecution. Think about these three words over the rest of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all 11 disciples were certain they would be able to stand with Jesus through thick and thin. Were they sincere in that upper room during communion?
Yes.
Did you see a firm determination? Did you see a resolution? Did you see a sincerity?
Yes.
And in Jesus' night of agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, he tried to get those sincere disciples to watch and pray with him, didn't he?
Yep.
Yes.
Did they do either one?
No.
Did they watch? Did they pray? Oh, they were so sincere during communion. In volume 2 of the testimony, page 205, we read, by these sleeping disciples is represented a sleeping church.
Yes.
Is there a prophecy in those sleeping disciples for you and me today?
Yeah.
It is a time of clouds and thick darkness when to be found asleep is most perilous.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, I come to you today praying that you will wake up.
Yes.
Don't be found sleeping. The captain of our ship is asking every one of you, the captain of our ship is asking me, wake up, watch, and pray.
Amen.
We are told that the sleep the disciples had there in Gethsemane was not a sound sleep. They slumbered. They were half asleep. They were half awake. They were just sleepy enough to miss what was going on.
Yeah.
Are you seeing the application today?
Yeah.
There are thousands today who are not in a sound sleep. They show up at church every day. They participate in Sabbath school. They go out and they witness. But they are half asleep. They are not awake enough to notice the heresy.
Lord.
Not only do they miss the heresy that is spoken, most importantly, hear this, brothers and sisters, most importantly, they completely miss what is not said.
Mm-hmm.
They completely miss it if the three angels' message is not preached. Our only hope, brothers, is to watch and pray.
Amen.
Early writings, page 269, 270. I saw some with strong faith and agonizing cries, pleading with God. Their countenances were pale and marked with deep anxiety, expressive of their internal struggle. Firmness and great earnestness was expressed in their countenance. Large drops of perspiration fell upon their foreheads. Does that sound like anybody to you?
Yeah.
Does that sound like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, you and me today are in one of two groups. We're either Jesus praying with agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, or we are slumbering with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Which group are you in? This is the picture of those who receive the counsel of the true witness, lift the standards, and give the straight testimony, and under the power of the latter rain, proclaim the loud cry and gather in earth's last harvest. Brothers and sisters, these are the survivors. Before they give the loud cry, they must receive the latter rain. Before they receive the latter rain, they must receive and give the straight testimony. Not only receive, but give the straight testimony. Do you hope to receive the latter rain? You're not going to unless today you are giving the straight testimony. Before they can give the straight testimony, they must receive and give the counsel of the true witness. They do this by literally taking the Laodicean message and getting down on their knees and repenting and opening the door to Jesus and letting him take over their lives.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I can't say this loud enough, and I can't say it hard enough. Resist discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Resist discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you this positive message. It's from Our High Calling, page 351. The counsel of the true witness does not represent those who are lukewarm as in a hopeless state.
Mercy, Lord.
Here is yet a chance to remedy their state, and the Laodicean message is full of encouragement. The Laodicean message is full of encouragement. Brothers and sisters, I did not come here to discourage you tonight. I came here to encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
I am ashamed that we are in a lukewarm condition.
Yes.
But brothers and sisters, I am not ashamed that I am part of the Laodicean Church.
Amen.
The Laodicean Church is the one where Jesus is standing.
Amen.
The Laodicean Church is the church where Jesus is the head of. The Laodicean Church is the church that Jesus is the captain of. I want to be right here. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, friends of mine, those who survive the straight testimony, those who survive the heresy, those who survive the persecution will sing the victory song with the remnant church, and I want to be. Brothers and sisters, I choose to be. Will you choose with me tonight?
Amen. I choose to be.
I choose to be.
Do you love the truth? Do you love the Sabbath truth?
Yes.
Do you love the truth on the health reform?
Oh, yes.
Do you love the truth on the dress reform?
Yes.
Do you love the truth on the education reform?
Yes.
Are you paying your tithe?
Yes.
Do you love family worship?
Yes.
Do you love to study the Bible? Do you love the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy?
Yes. Amen.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Brothers, I need to speak to the brothers for a minute. Brothers, we need to be ashamed for the lack of the priesthood in the church. Brothers, I need you to take up your banner as the high priest of your household tonight.
Amen.
Your
Amen.
Wife, God bless her, is not the head of the household. You are the high priest of the household.
Amen.
Act like it. Take up your responsibility as the priesthood of your house, and then take that attitude into your church tomorrow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If Jesus loves the church and the love of Jesus is in your heart, what will your attitude be towards the church? No. Somebody didn't get that. Let me say it again. Listen more carefully now. Put aside the disturbances. You need to hear this. If Jesus loves the church and the love of Jesus is in your heart, what will your attitude be towards the church?
Love.
You will love the church. Let me read to you a wonderful sentence found in Volume 3 of the Testimony, page 418. Christ and his church are inseparable.
Amen.
Do you think that might keep you from being sifted out?
Yes.
Do you think that might keep you from jumping overboard?
Yes.
Do you think that might keep you from listening to the critics who are trying to persuade you to jump overboard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brothers and sisters, your soul is at stake.
Yes.
Do not be like Eve and listen. You may be charmed. Christ and his church are inseparable.
Amen.
Love God's church so much that you are willing to let nothing without or nothing within, separate you from the love of Christ and the ark which he has built for your protection.
Amen.
To take his remnant people on through.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you will settle these two points and let them be deeply imprinted in your soul through the study of the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, as you plead with God for yourself and your family and the church, you will be a survivor. And oh, brothers and sisters, how I want every single person listening on this prayer line tonight to be a survivor. If you will listen to these points and let them deeply be imprinted in your soul.
Yes.
From Maranatha, page 200. I want to leave you with these two points tonight. During the latter rain, God's people coming out of Babylon. God's people coming out of Babylon. God's people coming out of Babylon will fill the vacancies of those who jumped overboard.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you the quote. But there are men and women who will receive the truth, and these will take the place made vacant by those who become offended and leave the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been tempted to become offended and leave the remnant? Don't let your place be taken. The second point, same page, Maranatha, page 200, I'm quoting, men of true Christian principle will take their place and will become faithful, trustworthy householders to advocate the word of God in its true bearings and in its simplicity. The Lord will work so that the disaffected ones will be separated from the true and loyal ones. The ranks will not be diminished. Those who are firm and true will close up the vacancies that are made by those who become offended and apostatized. Brothers and sisters, please choose to be a survivor.
Yes, amen.
Well, there's much more I could say on this topic. Christ has much important information on the sanctuary. And if ever there was a time for us to have a clear understanding of the sanctuary, it is today.
Oh, yes.
So God blesses each and every one.